send us revival.
Hello, this is Word of Eternal Life by Pastor Chaco Varghese of Life Eternal Ministries from Parkland, Florida.
Hello, good morning. Word of Eternal Life, Ministries of Jesus Christ. We are going through the messages and ministries of Jesus Christ when he performed in the earth through the Gospel of Matthew. In order for that, today, the small part of read here is from Matthew chapter 12, the last part of Matthew chapter 12, verses 46 to 49 in the beginning. Here, verse 46, while Jesus was still talking to the crowd, his mother and brothers stood outside, wanting to speak to him. Someone told him, "Your mother and brothers are standing outside, wanting to speak to you." He replied to them, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" Pointing to his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and my sister and my mother." Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for this scripture, what Jesus spoke on himself. In the name of Jesus, we come to you. Give us the eternal knowledge of this word and the scripture. Bless the speaker, bless the listeners. Help us to understand your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, as we are continue reading the Matthew's Gospel, where Matthew presenting Jesus Christ as the King of the Jews. First, we read and studied all the genealogical part. If you go and read the first book, first chapters of Matthew, then we come to the birth of Jesus Christ, and how Herod killed all the children, and all the prophecies concerning Jesus was fulfilled. The most important thing concerning Jesus is presented as the King of the Jews from the book of Gospel of Matthew is that Matthew presents the prophecies which was spoken about Jesus before his birth. Some 700 some years before the birth of Jesus lived Isaiah the great prophet. Many of the prophecies, and somewhat as a contemporary crossing over, Isaiah was Jeremiah. And those two prophets, and there were others prophets as well, yes, a couple of the others. And when those lived and prophesied, some to Israel and some to Judea, majority of them were for Judea. Praise the Lord. This was after the time of some other great Israel prophets in Israel. So Jesus was performing, and birth to every act of his life was already being prophesied. Now we are in the ministries of Jesus Christ, which was prophesied in Isaiah chapter 61, 45, 49, and many other chapters. It was prophesied how he will minister, then he will be persecuted, punished, and crucified. His sufferings in the cross, on the cross, is in the book of Isaiah chapter 53. So while Jesus was still speaking, Jesus was in the outside where he had been facing people. He was healing the sick, casting out demons. There comes his brothers, sisters, and his mother. So they stood outside wanting to speak to him. Someone told him, "Your mother, brother, or sisters are waiting out to you." See, in another Gospel, we read the names of his brothers and not the sisters. And the Pharisees or Jews come and tell him there is Jose, there is James and Jude and Simon. They give four brothers' name. These are the four brothers born after Jesus supposedly was born from his virgin mother. Praise the Lord. Now remember, Jesus mother Mary was a virgin when he was chosen to be married to Joseph. And Joseph was supposedly an older man, according to historians. And then what happens is, after the birth of Jesus, he had all the other brothers and sisters. So we remember about the four brothers here. Out of the four brothers in the New Testament church, we can see two of them were major leaders. One is James, who became the chief or head of the Jerusalem church, and also Jude, another brother of Jesus who wrote the epistle of Jude. So we don't hear the names of Simon and Jose, but it says Jesus' mother, brothers and sisters, all his disciples gathered on the Mount Olives. We supposedly watched the ascension of Christ to heaven, and there were about 500 people all together. Apostle Paul, writing about this event in the 1 Corinthians, he mentioning these, and then they went to, after Jesus' ascension, they went straight to Jerusalem in a place. It's called the place of Mark, who was also became a writer of the gospel later. They resided in the house of Mark, where they prayed and there were they baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now here, Jesus' brothers and sisters, and they never believed in Christ until he was resurrected. Bible clearly says that they never believed in Jesus until he resurrected from the dead. Now, this is many times before his death and resurrection. They did not believe in him. In Mark chapter 3, we read that they came to capture him and take him home because they thought he was mentally some kind of disturbance. He's doing all this work. All these things he's doing because of that. Now here, Jesus said, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" Pointing to his disciples, "and those who do my Father's will." See, the priority, God was his Father. Jesus was born in the earthly form, in the human form, as I many times explained this mystery that is hard to understand for many of us, the divine incarnation. The divine God, the Son of God, has he divinely been living in the Father as the creator of the universe, the mastermind behind all the creative work you see in the universe. You know, the oceans, the trees and plants, and the huge mountainous, you know, all the land of the world, the earth, and the sky, and all the magnificent creations, the planetariums. I mean, amazing. Christ himself was the creator of all of this in the Word of God. And he became the Word, he was the Word, he is the Word, he created by his Word and his power, his outstretched arms, and his great wisdom. Shatara Bahandala. Oh, the wisdom of God which was in Christ, he is in Christ, and God Father himself have him as his advisor, if you ask who advised God. There is no advisor to God. God himself is the advisor. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit only know the secret of creation. The secret of creation. The secret of how they made everything in the universe which you see today. The galaxies. Now everyone is trying to find a way to get to all the galaxies. The other side of the moon. You know, to see the other planets, you know, things which are, you know, if impossible, that they are trying to make it possible. some success in each of these, but the universe is a handcrafted, he is a handiwork of Christ, Christos, the only Son of God, who in him, in the Father, did all the handiwork for his work, his God, his creations. The same Christ created us in his image and in his likeness. In God's image and in his likeness, he created us. And he wants everything to be done the Father's will. Same as he was in the Father, as he was before the creation, he was in the Father and he did all the work of the Father. And when he became a human, it's the same purpose. The purpose of Christ, purpose of Christos, Christology is a very, very deep, mysterious things. Christ is a mystery person. He's God himself. He became human and God as two in one person together, at same time God and same time human. It is his divinity one side and in his humanity on the other side. When he sees his humanity, you can see he is truly human. He was born of Mary, the Virgin, but no father from earthly, but his father was heavenly. God, the Holy Spirit, God sent his Son through the Holy Spirit into the Mary's womb. So Mary was filled with the Holy Spirit. If you read the Gospel of Luke chapter 3 and Matthew chapter 2, you see how the birth Jesus was conceived in Mary, that no human hand involved in it. Finally, she is the child of the woman, and the same child, God's Son. So here, Jesus Christ says, my only purpose, do my Father's will. My Father's will, priority to Father's will. Regardless of you born in my mother's womb, you are my brothers and sisters, yes, correct, but until you do my Father's will, you will never become my brothers and sisters. That's what the translation of what Jesus is saying here. If you want to be my brother and sister, first you obey my Father, not Joseph, the earthly father of you, my Father who is the Father in heaven. He is the one. He is my Father. He is the creator. He is the owner of everything. And I work for him. And he is me. And I am in him. He is in me. I am in him. See, you need to get, it is hard part of the Christology where it says that I am in the Father and I am Father in me. It means that they are one. Christ and the Father are one in the Holy Spirit, engulfed in them. They are engulfed with the Spirit, Holy Spirit, and they become one in that unity. So if you read Gospel of John chapter 17, the longest prayer that we know Jesus prayed publicly. Other prayers Jesus prayed in the nights with the Father, but it is not written in the Bible. Now this one, 17th chapter of Gospel of John, where Jesus prayed first for him, for his family, for his disciples, then for the people going to be his disciples and children of God in the future by the preaching of the message of the gospel by the apostles. So there were three type of prayer included, where in that one prayer, Father, let us have these my disciples be one in us. Let them be one in us. The same way we are one, Father and Son, the same way we are in oneness in the Holy Spirit, let them be also one in us. So what is they're saying is, Christ is in the Father, Father in Christ, as one. See, these two were always been there, and the Holy Spirit, they've always been there. And that is what some people does not want to accept. When it says Yahweh in the Old Testament, God is one. The Lord God is one. When why Moses explained that to children of Israel in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6, our Lord God is one. Because the other gods have more than one God, the other people. Now here, the God of Israel, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are one. That's what Moses is saying. He is one God. Even though Christ was not explained in the Old Testament, in the language wise, it was not explained. But in the Aramaic Bible, if somebody read, a Jewish person read the Aramaic Bible, they can read the Memra of God. The Memra of God stood before me and God. The Memra of God which stood before the Israel and God the Father was Christ. That's what you need to learn from the Aramaic Bible. You got to understand the old Hebrew, the Aramaic, where Christ was clearly spoken there, but the name was given as Memra. So John the Apostle wrote the Gospel. He said, in the beginning was the Memra, and the Memra was with God, and Memra was God, and the Memra was with God. The Memra of God is the Aramaic word for God in English, word in English. The word in English, in Aramaic, is Memra. I studied some Jewish theological writing, Christian writing, where it was defined from an intellectual author that they found this scripture from the Aramaic Bible and the Aramaic Torah, where Christ was more clearly visible by the name Memra. You know, in the cool of the day, the Memra of God was walking in the garden. That's what it says in the Aramaic Bible. But in the English Bible, it says, in the cool of the day, God was walking. See, God was written as Memra in the Old Testament, in the Aramaic, in the cool of the day. You know, if you don't obey the Memra of God, He will consume you. See, it says in the book of Exodus, see, the Memra of God was not the Spirit of God, it was a person, you know, even the Spirit of God is a person. The person, Memra, was the one who was standing between God and Moses, God and the people, which was Christ, the one who delivered them from the Pharaoh's bondage. It is Christ, or Christos in Greek. Christ is Jesus, Yeshua in the Hebrew, Yeshua. See, this is a mysterious problem with the people to understand that, yes, Yeshua is the Memra or the Old Testament, or He was the Word or the Scripture of the Old Testament. He was the one working for God in the Old Testament. He was the God who created the universe in the Old Testament, and the same creator became Memra, who was with God and was God and is God, and He became flesh. He has become flesh. That Memra became flesh and He lived among us. Gospel of John chapter 1 verse 12. He lived among us. He became flesh. That's His name, Jesus. Yeshua, or Joshua, Yeshua, Yehoshua, all of these names are the same. So Christ is saying, you do my will, you will be my brothers and sisters. Jesus wants you to do His Father's will. I just gave some background of who Christ was, just a little bit of brief introduction of Christos, who was before the creation of the world, who was God Himself, who was the one who was doing all the work for the Father God, at the same time they were equal in power and authority in creation, right, in existence, in salvation, right, in the future. Everywhere, Christ and God, Father, are equal. They are not created. Both are not created, but they existed from eternity to eternity. They're self-existing, self-sustaining God. There is no creation was done other than them. They created everything. Bible clearly says, He created all for their purpose. See, everything you see has a purpose. God's purpose is unveiled sometime, some of them will be unveiled in the future. You know, in Hebrews chapter 1, it says, Christ is the exact replica and a reflection of the Father. See, in order for you to see Christ, Father, or God, you will see Christ. Because He was there ever since the Father was. He was there ever since everything was made, before everything was made. So He is the reflection of Father God. He is the glory of Father God, that we see God's glory through Jesus the Christ. So in order we to become the brothers and sisters, that's how we become the children of God. God, first we become God's children. Once we become God's children, we are the brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ. In the Gospel of John chapter 1 verse 11 it says, in those who believed in Him, He gave them the power to become the children of God. It is not those who go to the church. It is not who called us Catholic or Protestant or denomination or whatever they call themselves. It is by your faith in Christ that Christ is the Son of God who came to die for your sins. You believe in Him and you repent and accept Him as your Savior. That He paid the price for you. He paid it all. There's nothing left. All of your sins. Some people said, I have done no sins. No, you are a sinner if you are born of Adam and Eve. The birth sin is fallen on you because you are their children. You are not born because you are a sinner. You are sin, you know. Not because your father and mother produced you, you are a sinner. It is because you are the descendants of Adam and Eve, they were sinners. See, so child is born means that child is not the responsible. The sin fall on us from the beginning time when Adam and Eve sinned. So we need to make a restitution for that, which is we are sinners, we died in our sins. Our heart, our spirit died to God. So God comes and says, call us. Our spirit should hear that we repent. When we repent, God will give us eternal life. Praise God. See what a love God has given to us. God is full of love and His compassion and His greatness is unbelievable. No one talks about God's greatness in Washington, D.C. or those higher places. You know, God's grace, we are living. Sometimes people think that we are living because of the power of certain people, that they are doing some certain great things. No, God is controlling every single move of the human bodies. We want to be listening to Him. He loved us. See, He exists. He loved us more than anyone else. That His love is unstoppable. He will still love you even if you are sinning now. Even if you don't listen to Him now, He still loves you. That does not mean that you will go to heaven. When you die, your spirit will go to heaven. No, you will not. But He loves you until you can convert, until you change your lifestyle, your behavior, your attitude. You need to change, you know. lies and falsifying things will not change you. And turning around to God and say, God, I'm wrong, and forgive me and make me your child, and fill me with your Holy Spirit, and you will become brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ. In the great scriptures, in the book of Gospel of, in the epistles of the Bible, it's called the book of Hebrews. In the book of Hebrews, it was written for the Hebrew church in the first century, supposedly mostly agreeable that it was written by a great apostle. His name was Paul, but some days, no, maybe somebody else. Whatever the reason, whoever it is, it says that it is not to angels that he made the subjected the world to come. The world to come is going to be subjected to Jesus Christ. Christos, the King of the world, King of the universe, Jesus Christ will come and he will defeat the enemy Satan once forever and throw him in the bottomless pit and lock him up. And he will rule the world for 1,000 years. See, that is before after the rapture. The rapture means the rapture of the saints means the Christians, those who died in Christ, believed in him, and those who are still alive will be transformed and they will be uplifted to heaven. That's what the rapture is. And after that, 7 years of tribulation, the Satan will rule the world. But at the end, Satan will be destroyed by Holy Jesus Christ. And what is man? Be mindful of him. A son of man, that you care of him. You made him little lower than angels. When they speak of Jesus who became a human, he was like a little lower than the angels. Then, oh, God made him to suffer. Here it says in the book of Hebrews chapter 2 verse 9, who was made a little lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. See, Christ died, he suffered death for us. He didn't die for him, he died for us. He died for the humanity to be redeemed by his blood and his power of defeating Satan. And he defeated Satan by crucifying himself and taking the punishment on him. Satan tried not to do that. He tried to get him out of the cross. But Jesus suffered because that punishment and to be paid that, because he paid that punishment for us, our punishment, which was laid on us. The judgment which was laid on us, the sinners, that we will go to hell eternally. But Jesus paid that price by dying in place of us. He paid it all. So he paid it all to Satan. Satan, you have no power on us anymore. God the Father said, listen, my son died for, and he paid it. He paid the full ransom for you. You have no holding on humanity anymore. And those who believe in Jesus Christ, they will be released from your power. Satan will run and flee as soon as you believe in Jesus Christ. May the Lord richly bless you. Pray this prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, I come to you. Take me as your child. I forgive me all my sins. Cleanse me, purify me, fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you for listening. And make this prayer in your heart. The Lord Jesus will come to you and live in you, and you will be the children of God. May the Lord richly bless you.
Thank you for listening to the broadcast. And if you have any more questions, or if you like to contact me and talk more about this subject, my email address is p like Peter, r like Robert, dot chackov like Victor at gmail.com. That is pr.chackov@gmail.com.
Safety for your home and family. Now that's important to you. And Gator Security, with its 5-year warranty, can help. With security, video surveillance, and access control, Gator Security is available at www.gatorsecurity.com or 800-676-1580. Gator Security, with its 5-year warranty, is a proud corporate sponsor of WCNO. GatorSecurity.com.